Welcome in, everybody. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the PHNX Suns podcast. I'm Lindsay, that's Gerald, that's Espo, and once again, the Phoenix Suns have drama that none of us asked for.
Spent way too much time reading about mortgages today. There's only a handful of times in my life I want that. When I'm getting a mortgage and when I'm refinancing a mortgage, not for my job.
As if we haven't been through enough this year already, now we have to add even more onto our plates. WTF, y'all. Yeah. WTF. Well, I guess we should probably talk about it a little bit. If you guys missed it, there was an article released by Hunter Brook earlier today talking about some of the inner workings of UWM, which is the mortgage company that Matt Ishbia owns. And they painted a little bit of a picture of what they think could be some issues within the way that they practice businesses. They painted a picture of some of the inner workings of the business, including some that maybe even in connection with the Suns, as far as like Isaiah Thomas and things of that nature. And then there was a podcast as well. Pablo Torre had a podcast, which invited a member of Hunter Brook on with them to kind of dive a little bit deeper. And there's just a whole bunch. There's so many threads to this one that we could be here for hours.
But yeah.
Where do you guys want to start?
Just to sum up for people that didn't want to read the whole article or listen to the whole 50 minutes of Pablo Torre, some of the more serious accusations or problems that they had with the way that UWM is doing its business or whatever. There's a quote that over the last 4 years, UWM has charged homebuyers an estimated $3 billion more in closing costs compared to borrowers whose brokers found them the cheapest similar mortgage. There were some concerns about a tactic, an ultimatum tactic that they've used in terms of doing business with independent financial brokers, basically telling them, if you work with us, you do not work with Rocket Mortgage, which is the main competitor, the one that Dan Gilbert owns. So there are some concerns there also in terms of Isaiah Thomas being on the board for UWM. He was originally listed as an independent board member, but because of his relationship with Ishbia and the Suns and whatnot, they changed that to him being a full-fledged board member recently, kind of under the radar, just little things like that. And all of it kind of adds up to activity that this Hunter Brook Media Outlook is describing as potentially fraudulent.
So what happened with the lenders is these lenders funneled people to UWM where they had potentially better financial options for the individual.
Basically cheaper options.
Cheaper options. And that's where the $3 billion comes in, that number. The Isaiah Thomas thing is interesting because the top three board members are Matt Ishbia, his father, and his brother. Isaiah Thomas technically was in a fourth slot in an independent spot, which that person is supposed to have oversight in a lot of ways where and no real business dealings with the individuals that are higher than them on the board, which causes an ethical problem for sure.
But it also, he's supposed to create a little bit of checks and balances to make sure that all the other board members are represented correctly and people who are invested in the company.
Right.
There's not any shady business, if you will, going on. That's what an independent board member.
Right. And obviously he is not, Isaiah Thomas is not a mortgage expert in any way, shape, or form. So him being listed as an independent board member, which the SEC says he's supposed to be free of any material relationship with the company or its management, that doesn't feel accurate there. And then obviously there was also the voicemail that's going around. We're not going to play it here. If you haven't heard it, you can easily search for it on Twitter. But there is some language in there, including a phrase that is inappropriate and
extremely vulgar, for sure.
It's a vulgar phrase and it's homophobic in nature, even if that's not its intended use. And I know people are going to dismiss that part of it as just like, oh, he's a competitor. He wants to win. And I'm not going to clutch pearls over a billionaire who's in a competitive industry using the F-bomb a bunch like that, because if you've seen Succession, like, that's pretty close to real life. That's how a lot of these people talk. But that word in particular, you know, I'm not going to pretend like I've never used that word in the past, but I have refrained from using it since I've learned and was forced to kind of understand, like, no, that's a bad word. That's a word that is derogatory in nature, and it's not something to be used lightly or just dismissed as fruity language or colorful language. Like it's not a great word to use.
Yeah. I mean, obviously coming off of what you came off of with previous ownership, choice of language is an important thing.
Right.
Whether it's a private conversation or not, like you should be aware of how you're choosing to speak again, you know. So,
and we should note that the voicemail in question has already brought up questions about whether its authenticity. Yeah.
And another thing on the Isaiah Thomas front that was interesting, he does take a salary or did as a board member of about $140,000 a year plus stock options. Obviously, there is a previous relationship there. So there's a lot of questionable business dealings that are brought up here. I don't know legally where they go. I don't know. Obviously don't know mortgage law or financial law. That was not an area I ever thought I'd be talking about. But so there's questions about, is it ethically wrong? Is it actually a violation of something, some kind of law, some kind of rule? There was a lawsuit that was put forth by Rocket Mortgage back in 2019 over the lender issue, but actually the judge in February said that the case should be dismissed because it's lacking some basis so it hasn't been dismissed yet, but that's what the judge said. So again, I don't know on that stuff.
It's one of those things where if you're looking at it just from the perspective of a Suns fan, it is a little jarring to hear that voicemail, and it's not ideal to hear that your owner is involved or in potentially could be involved in some sketchy business practices. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if you're looking at it just from the lens of I'm a Suns fan, what does this mean for my team and my franchise? I don't think it's ultimately going to mean much unless it's determined that there is in fact fraudulent activity going on, in which case the fact that, you know, his shares in the company were tied up allegedly in the purchasing of this company comes into play. But that's all speculation. Ishbia did say that the loan was legit and that he paid in cash for the team. So he denied that part of it. I feel like this is just a sobering reminder that, you know, billionaires are billionaires. They go about their business how they go about their business. And you could publish a report like this on pretty much any owner in the NBA in terms of how they got their money, what their companies do. So I don't want to dismiss the language in that particular voicemail or dismiss any of this as like, oh, it's perfectly fine. He's a great guy, carry on. I don't know him like that, but I do think it's important to note that, like, yeah, this is how this country works. This is how making money in this country works.
I will say the one thing from a Suns fan's perspective is if you listen to the podcast and also within the article, they did go on to kind of speculate about if the cards were to fall a certain way, could it potentially result in him having to sell the team?
Right.
Basically, because there are reports within this article that says that he did leverage UWM shares to purchase the Suns, which Gerald, you said he said that's not the case. He paid cash. I'm not arguing which one is correct or not because I don't know. But as a Suns fan, you might be wondering, okay, does that mean he doesn't have money? Does that mean that he could potentially sell the team? I wouldn't worry about that as of right now. Is there a potential down the road that something like that? Sure, anything could happen. But
it's purely speculative at this point.
Yeah, it's completely speculation.
Yeah, I think there's two. I love Pablo Torre Finds Out. If you follow me on Twitter, I think it's one of the better shows out there. But some of the stuff was problematic today, and it made me want to dig a little bit deeper into Hunter Brook, into Sam Koppelman, who was the guy on with Pablo Torre, into the gentleman who wrote the article. And I found some interesting things. Now, I'm not condoning anything that was in the report. If it's true, there's obviously some questionable things. I can't speak firsthand at working for Matt Ishbia. I never have, unlike when we talked about the previous owner. But what I can tell you is I'm prone to take things a little skeptically based on what I found out about the group. So Hunter Brook is media is who wrote this article. They're a sister company of Hunter Brook Capital, which places trades based on scoops their reporters uncover at their newsroom. And they claim it's separated by a layer of compliance, but Sam Koppelman and his business partner are involved in both, right? Which seems odd to me, but I don't know. I'm going on top-level stuff I learned from the Financial Times. But then you look at it, and they disclose in the article and on their website that as part of this investigative report that is obviously painting UWM in a very poor light and Matt Ishbia in a very poor light, they shorted stock in UWM. And shorting stock means it involves borrowing a security whose price you think is going to fall and then selling it on the open market and then buying the same same stock back later for a lower price and selling it back to the borrower or the broker that you got it from to make money. So essentially what they're trying to do as a company is tank the value of UWM. Okay, they're finding something that they can write a report about that's scathing, then buy short the stock of said company in hopes that they can ride the wave as that company falls, their profits fall down because of the report, and make money themselves off of it. They also did the opposite with Rocket Mortgage, which is brought up in this, but not in a poor light, and there's no real investigation into their practices there too. So to me, first step seems a little off to me, right? You can debate the economics of journalism if you want, but I feel like it brings into question at least a little bit what's the motivation here, right? Then you look at the gentleman who wrote the piece, Matthew Termine. I believe it's pronounced Termine. I don't know exactly. And prior to this, because their big thing, you know, that Hunter Brook claims we hired a bunch of journalists. You know, I think they said five, maybe three or five. I don't remember who it was to write these pieces, right? But you do a little research and you realize, well, Matthew wasn't a journalist prior to this. He was actually a corporate counsel and then a VP of legal, regulatory, and compliance for a company called Morty.
What does Morty do?
Morty is actually an online mortgage company.
Interesting.
Which, you know, I tried to do additional research and I could not find anything about UWM lending on their website. I did find something about Rocket. I can't confirm it. But the whole thing feels oddly sus to me when you start to look at all that. And at the bare minimum, it brings up the ethical questions about journalism and doing this. So what I think is you got to look at it in totality, take each for what it's worth and make your own, you know, decision on it. I just think to me, something seems a little off.
It does
the whole thing
bring up questions and concerns around ethics within the industry because you stand to potentially make some money off of this article.
Lots of money.
So it does bring up a lot of questions around that. Again, like you were saying, it's up to all of us individually to determine what we're going to take from all of this and what we're going to leave on the table. But Gerald, to your point, at the end of the day, there are some things in here that should not be necessarily overlooked. And it's something that I'm sure we'll probably end up having some sort of an update on in the future.
And we did. I reached out for a statement and got a statement from UWM, and they said Hunter Brook is not a news organization. It is a $100 million hedge fund sensationalizing public information to manipulate the stock market to enrich themselves and their investors. Buried deep in their quote unquote report and prior to its publication, Hunter Brook went short UWMC, long Rocket, and purchased derivatives. A hedge fund scheme using journalists to short a stock is not only unethical, it may be fraudulent. And that's the thing for me is, on the one hand, like, investigative journalism, the funding for that is not there anymore. And I, from a moral standpoint, like, I understand wanting to fund it and make a profit off it by taking down unethical behavior. But at the same time, like, there are serious conflicts of interest there when you are being funded by a group that is making stock market decisions based on what the findings are, and it questions the whole validity of what's being reported there. So it's a, at the very least, it's a massive grain of salt. And at the very most, it's could be, as UWM claims, fraudulent reporting in that. And that could be, I mean, there are a lot of ethical concerns about that. And Espo, I know that you have thoughts on that as well.
Well, Hunter Brook kind of hides behind this thin veil of, well, it's all publicly available information.
They're transparent about it. Yeah.
No, information they're sharing within the articles is public knowledge.
So that's why they say,
or public information.
Before the article comes out, they can short the stock. They can do all this. But to me, that says you've done the research to benefit yourself first. You're putting the article out in hopes you're tanking the stock. And that's where, I don't, all this could be true, but I also feel like if you're going to do it, you got to look at the bigger picture in the industry as a whole and see how many other places are doing it. And to me, it wasn't to their benefit to look at Rocket in the same way or others, because they're not shorting that stock. They're doing the opposite with Rocket, because the supposition is if UWM tanks, Rocket goes up. I make money on both ends. That's problematic to me in the way you're doing it. And again, I'm not saying what they reported isn't true necessarily. I just, the motives come into question big time.
Yeah, it puts you in a position where your motives are being questioned right from the start, your potential conflicts of interest, because that is one of the core tenets of being a journalist. Yes, report truth, but also be independent, be a watchdog. This feels more calculated than that. And just because you're transparent about it on your website, what you're doing with Hunter Capital stock options doesn't mean that we're suddenly supposed to overlook it. Like, oh, they disclosed this. Well, yeah, but it's still not great for your validity or your credibility there. So, yeah, all of it's kind of hard to tell what to take to heart. I think you take all of it with a grain of salt moving forward, to be honest.
It's a very interesting and kind of unique approach to this whole thing, because you were saying, like, who knows how many other companies have done this, but I don't think any other company has been this upfront about it.
None of them did the ultimatum thing, and they did in the reporting compare it to other mortgage companies, I believe, in a similar situation, and that's how they calculated how much more they were allegedly charging or whatever. But again, I question the credibility of a company that's funded by a company that's making stock decisions based on what these reports are coming out.
And again, I find it weird that the judge move to dismiss that, which then means, okay, is it ethically wrong? Probably. Is it legally? I don't know. It doesn't seem like a judge thinks so. So that opens up a whole different can of worms. It just, I didn't like also on the podcast, the Pablo Torre Finds Out podcast, which I think is the way most people were going to consume this. I highly doubt Suns fans are seeking out a very long investigative journalism piece.
Well, there's so many articles about it now at this point. You got the OG one, then you got the podcast, then Baxter Holmes put out some stuff too.
I feel like you look at people watching the Pablo Torre podcast, and there's, could this cost Matt Ishbia the team? Sam Koppelman, not even the gentleman who wrote the piece, Sam Koppelman, who's involved in both the media business and the hedge fund, is the guy that's on. He's Pablo Torre's buddy, which they talk about. The whole thing just seemed a little skewed on that front, which concerned me a little bit too, because there were some, they made it more colorful at times in that than it was really in the piece. There's just so many questions. It leaves me with more questions than I actually got answered or were taught in this, because some of the things Baxter had already reported, you know, the stuff about the stocks and leveraging that was something that had been reported, I believe, a year ago or earlier this or late last year. Like, it's just weird to me. That's all I'm saying is both sides. The whole thing just seems off to me in some ways.
Yeah, no, I get it. And I think Suns fans should guard their hearts. But you're right. Some of the stuff in the in that video, the Pablo Torre video, there was a lot of opinions that were being bandied about very close to facts. And like the one guy compared, talked about going from Sarver to Matt Ishbia in terms of a palate cleanser being like a Listerine strip of tuna salad or something like that. And it's just like, that's not, that's just your opinion. There's no substantiation to that type of thing. So it did kind of feel at that point, like a hit piece without the facts, the evidence to back it up.
One thing, and then we should get into basketball, but I found this hilarious. Sam Koppelman, the guy that's involved in all this, his father is Brian Koppelman, who wrote the show Billions.
Mm-hmm.
That just, the whole thing just seems humorous because the whole thing in Billions is about a corrupt investment guy and a DA trying to chase him who's just as corrupt. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing almost feels like a mirror in some ways to what's going on here. You've got, you know, a guy they're claiming is corrupt in a mortgage industry and a group that's pushing it that may have their own motives in weird ways. It just, it's funny how that all kind of tied together to me.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you can decide how you want to digest all the information that we've been given from all of this and where you sit on the word, but on the issue, I mean, but unless something else pops off, that's the most that I think we'll dive into it on this program. If something does, we'll keep you updated. But before we move on, we do have a few super chats from you guys. Psycho Blue sent us one. Thank you, Psycho Blue, that said, "This journalism isn't hard-hitting enough for me. If you want me to believe, film in a half-lit kitchen. Also, I used to dream about Sarver getting caught on tape doing something sus, so I'm not totally innocent." Smiley face. Shortstack Goblin sent us one. Thank you, Shortstack. They said, "Stop the press. Billionaire with questionable dealings?"
Yeah.
Who'd have thought?
Pretty much.
Icon sent us one. Thank you, Icon. They said, "Worked for both Rocket and UWM. Rocket was a meat grinder that didn't care about its employees, and UWM was the polar opposite."
Good. I'm glad that was your experience, Icon.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always good to hear better experiences for people in certain workplaces that maybe at least have rumors, at the very least, for not being good work environments.
So let's turn to a more positive conversation. Are the Suns going to fall out of the playoffs? No, I'm just kidding. We got some other things to do before we get to that.
Fingers crossed that doesn't happen. But one positive thing that you guys can get in on before tomorrow's game against the Cavs is our friends over at Prize Picks. They are the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America, and they are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. So instead of battling thousands of other players out there, including pros and sharks, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 players' stats and combos and projections and watch the winnings roll in. Espa, how much money have you made?
According to the app, I've won 6 times and I've won $656.
Dang.
25 cents, thanks to Prize Picks.
That's pretty legit. I mean, right now you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can also turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Prize Picks is really simple to play. You can make your picks and submit your entry in less than 60 seconds. So get in on the action right now. Go to prizepicks.com/PHNX and use code PHNX for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/PHNX. Use code PHNX. Pick more, pick less. It's quite literally that easy.
Gerald, what's on your shirt?
Switchfoot.
Isn't that who you said was your favorite band last
night?
Yeah,
they are.
Are they touring right now?
I actually don't know if they are.
Well, we should look it up and then use the Game Time app to get you some tickets to the show. I do owe you a wedding gift still. So if they are touring, you know what I'm going to do? What? I'm going to use Game Time. I'm going to buy you and the missus 2 tickets to go see Switchfoot.
That would be lovely.
And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to Game Time. I've already signed up, but you need to sign up because if you use that promo code PHNX, when you download the Game Time app or on their website, you're going to get $20 off on your first purchase. I used it when I bought Kelly Clarkson tickets. I bought some sporting events there as well. They've got everything you could want. If it has a ticket to go to, you can use Game Time pretty much to get there. And Game Time right now is an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer you get to first pitch. So if you want to go out to Chase Field and catch a game, Game Time can get you in the door for super cheap. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat so you can see where you're sitting. It's not, hey, I just bought obstructed view tickets because I had no clue. No, you get view from your seat and their lowest price guarantee. Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets just like that. So I highly recommend you go there today. Take the guesswork out of buying with Game Time. Download the app, like I said, create an account, and use PHNX for $20 off your first purchase. It's that simple. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem the code PHNX. You're getting $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices, guaranteed.
Not Saul in the chat trying to throw shade at me, saying, yeah, I don't care what Lynn says about betting, LMAO, then following it up with, I say that with love, of course. Sure, Saul. Sure. Uh-huh. You're in the negative, by the way. Just FYI, you're negative $1, I think.
That is true.
And I have $80.
So. 500 and
just
something.
Kidding. Shut up.
She said scoreboard.
Just hey, do you have the scoreboard? Can we put that up? She wants it. She wants to yell scoreboard.
Just kidding. I didn't want to. I was just trying to talk a little trash to Saul.
That was the most indirect way to get back to scoreboard.
I know, really. Well, we can't find it, so we got to move on. We just have to do that. And talk about the Western Conference standings and where the Suns sit. And mm-hmm. look at some odds of where they might end up at mm-hmm. the end of the season. Because it's that time of year where, unfortunately for us, every single game counts. And yes. in a big way. So currently the Suns are in seventh in the Western Conference. The Kings are in eighth. They are half a game back from the Suns. And the Suns are a game back from the Pelicans in that sixth spot. A lot can happen in the next couple of weeks, though. Gerald, we found a site, thanks mm-hmm. to one of our diehards in the Discord.
Yes.
They shared it with us. And it gives you basically kind of like the odds of where teams might end up by the end of the season?
Yeah, pretty much. And these are all based on probabilities of like win probabilities based on who is matched up with whom. So it's not, you know, 100% crystal clear, obviously. But if the Suns go 7-0, they have, according to this website, a 49% chance of grabbing the 5 seed, a 16% chance of grabbing the 6 seed, and a less than 1% chance of grabbing the 7 seed there. So, go 7-0, you're in pretty good spot. They're obviously probably not going to go 7-0. So if you go 6-1, it's about 50% odds that you'll get that 6 seed, 39% that you'll climb all the way to 5, and a 5% chance at the 7 seed, less than 1% chance at the 8 seed. So
go undefeated or lose one and you're sitting pretty.
Yeah.
Yes. The problem is, like, honestly, if you go like 5-2, which,
how bad does it drop off?
It goes to 54% chance that you're in the 6 seed. It okay. goes to 34% that you are in the 7 seed, 1% that you're in the 8 seed, less than 1% chance that you are the 9 spot, and a 10% chance at 5. So
5-2 is basically like the threshold.
It is,
for
but
us to be in a good spot.
5-2 should be the minimum of what you're aiming for, but part of those 5 have to be the Kings matchup you've got left mm-hmm. and the Pelicans matchup you've got left, because the Suns already own the tiebreaker over the Pelicans, but they are one game back from them in the standings. So if you win that head-to-head, and let's say all the other games between you and the Pelicans against those other opponents are even, you win because you make up that one game by beating the Pelicans. The Kings, they're 2-2. So you have to win that remaining game to own the head-to-head tiebreaker over them, which means that if you wind up with a tied record against the Kings and the Pelicans, but you beat them in these next two games, you leapfrog them both because of that head-to-head record. So something to keep in mind, unless it's a three-way tie and there's different tiebreakers for three-way. But head-to-head, you need those tiebreakers.
I assume the odds are saying 5th-2 are assuming you probably beat the Clippers twice as well. In there,
if you go 5-2,
or
you're just saying in general, like,
because that's where the Clippers are in that 4-5 area right now, right? You're mm-hmm. looking at that. I mean, look, it comes down to simple, just win the damn games, and you're going to wind up, probably in that 5-6 area based on the odds.
I mean,
so,
wouldn't that be nice though?
You're riding momentum.
So I will say, based on this site and all the win probabilities, because it calculates them for every team, obviously, And it divides it, the percentages, into green, which means you're in control of your own destiny, versus red. The suns are in the green for 7, 8, 9, and 10, but they are in the red for 6 right now. So it's not entirely in their control. They could win out and they could still need some help mm-hmm. based on what these other teams do. Okay. So
a couple people in the chat, specifically Chris, says realistically we should win 3 or 4 of the remaining 7 games. So let's say we go 4 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
How far down does this drop?
If you win 4 of 7, it gives the Suns a 56% chance at being the 7 seed, a 22% chance at being the 8 seed, a 20% chance at being the 6 seed. And then the rest is like 1 or less than 1%.
Because, I mean, at the end of the day, what about 3 and 4 before we dive into this? Just
3 and 4.
Tell us what it is. Rip off the band-aid.
3 and 4, suddenly it's a 53% chance at the 8 seed.
Okay.
29% chance at 7, 16% chance at 9.
Okay.
So if you go 3 and 4, suddenly you're looking more at a on the road play-in game as opposed to being that 7 seed and being able to host.
I mean,
it.
I would feel more confident, obviously. 7 or 8, I'm more confident in general, whether home or road,
mm-hmm.
Than 9 or 10. 9 or 10, I have like zero confidence.
You have to win two games. You have to win two games and you cannot lose a game. If you're 7 and 8, you can still lose that first game and make right. the playoffs by winning the second. You don't want to be 9 or 10.
I have zero confidence if we end up 9 or 10. If we're 7 or 8, I'm still feeling comfortable that we'll be able to figure it out.
To win at least 1 of 2?
Yes.
Yeah.
So these odds at least... more than likely 7 or 8 would be.
I mean, at worst,
if we're going 3 to 3 and 4, it's not.
Yeah, and look, if you wind up in 9 or 10, it means you're on such a slide, anyways.
Mm.
The chances that you were gonna
right
gonna win anything. 1 of 2 maybe slim to none, anyways. At that point, so like, yeah, I mean, you want to avoid the play-in, but at least that makes me feel a little bit better that. You're mathematically likely not going to fall into 9.
Mm-hmm.
I think 10 is pretty much a mathematical improbability, right? To really fall there.
So, yeah, I mean, you would have to go for 9 and 10. It shoots to a 51% chance of falling to 9 if you go 2 and 5, 65% if you go 1 and 6, and 43% if you go 0 and 7, but there's then a 51% chance of falling all the way to 10 if you go 0 and 7.
Bro,
so just don't go 0 and 7 and you're not in the 10 spot.
How about just don't just go less than 500?
Honestly, if we can't even win, if we're 3 and 4, I'm going to lose my mind.
I'm just going to say, if you're 5 and 2 and you beat the Pelicans and you beat the Kings as part of your 5 wins of these last 7, you should be in a good spot to be out of the play-in. You should be. Those other teams would have to go like 6 and 1 for it to not matter. But beat the Pelicans, beat the Kings, go 5 and 2. You should be fine.
I would hope they would be able to pick up one against the Clippers too. We have back-to-backs. Home and away against the Clippers next week.
Right.
But hope they would at least be able to pick up one of those games.
My question for you guys is, do you consider matchup hunting at any point? If you're sitting at 6, or if 6 is a real possibility, but you really don't like the matchup, but you don't mind what you're looking at 7 or 8, do you think they play any kind of
I would
chess?
Hope not.
I wouldn't, but yeah, some teams I wouldn't. Have thought
that way. I don't think
way.
That they have...
You don't,
the ability, the switch flip, if you will, to do that.
It's a beggars can't be choosers situation. Yeah, they didn't take their Switch Alice yet.
They ain't got Switch Alice.
Yeah.
That's right.
I shipped credits over right. there, god damn it.
But yeah, I think, yeah, you take the guaranteed playoff spot over a play-in spot, even if like Minnesota winds up climbing to 2 or 1, you can't play with fate like that, because yeah. we've seen how many times do or die games have hurt this team. So I think even if it's like the Thunder are honestly, they might be a worse matchup for us than the Nuggets, I think.
Totally.
That's the one team I look at and I go, I might consider it for that. Like, do I want to play Nuggets round one and go toe-to-toe with the defending champs? No, but I, you know,
honestly,
I really
feel more confident in that than I would.
But just from a basketball like stylistic matchup, the Thunder are a tougher matchup, I think, than the Nuggets. And that's not to say I would be happy about playing the Nuggets either, because
No,
good luck with that.
It's no shade, but
no, it's if you strip the names off these teams and you just looked at style of play versus yours.
Yeah,
that you know OKC is. We've seen it can be a nightmare in terms of their style of play.
Yeah, I think the Timber, and obviously if you get the Timberwolves, you're feeling a lot more confident. You're not feeling like guaranteed that you're going to win that series because they have the best defense in basketball and they're a really good team. But stylistically, I think the Suns match up best with them.
Yeah, but then I could use the tweet, it's going down, I'm yelling Timberwolves.
I mean, you could use that, but at
is
what
that
cost?
Really worth it?
Is it worth
like,
it?
Like, is that your best work for it to be worth the Sun seeing? I'm just
Lindsay
asking.
Said, can you do better?
Well, I'm just asking. Look, is it worth it?
I'm going to short the stock on the joke and hopefully make money on the back end.
Oh,
with it.
There you go. Watch out, Will. Oh, my goodness. All I know is that the Suns are back in town tomorrow, which after what felt like a really long road trip. And if you are headed out to a game, make sure you stop at Circle K first to not only fill up on gas, but also to get some snacks before you hit the arena, because you're obviously going to save a boatload of money when you get them from Circle K. And you'll save even more money at Circle K when you join their inner circle for free by downloading the Circle K app today. Terms and conditions apply at participating locations. Visit CircleK.com for detail. But with this free membership program, there's a couple things you get immediately. First and foremost, you save 25 cents per gallon on your first five fill-ups. You save 3 cents per gallon every day after that. You can bump that up to 5 cents per gallon when you become a VIP of the Inner Circle app, and you get every six free on a selection of Circle K products like pizza, coffee, ice cold fountain drinks, and my favorite part, coupons. We love a good coupon, and the Circle K app is always sending out coupons, so check it out, you guys, CircleK.com.
Somehow that does not surprise me that Lindsay likes a good coupon.
Who doesn't? Come on.
I mean that's fair.
It's the best.
You know, I think we probably have, what, two weeks of good weather left?
Mm-hmm. No, we got a little longer.
You think? Yeah. We're in the in
with
April.
The way this weather's been lately?
I don't know. It's going to be in the 80s already this week. So,
and it was like 50 yesterday.
Hey, look, all I'm saying,
or 2 days ago,
is take advantage of what's left of this beautiful weather by taking advantage of the Arizona Lottery's new ticket promotion called Arizona Adventures. Three ways to play and win big. It's play Arizona Adventures lottery tickets featuring three iconic landscapes, Picacho Peak, Monument Valley, and Camelback Mountain. All fantastic places to visit, too, if you're looking for something to do. And these tickets have prizes up to $50,000. But that is not all. There is more, and this is where going outside comes in to play. You can also check in at geolocated adventures at 10 destinations across the state, from Flagstaff to Yuma, from Sedona to Sierra Vista. I mean, you can visit Lindsay's childhood home. I don't think it's one of the 10, but maybe it's the 11th on the list.
I mean, Picacho Peak is on the way down there.
That's fair.
Could
it
you
is.
Imagine if you had to check in at Lindsay's home?
Lindsay's childhood home. Get excited, Sierra Vista.
Have fun.
But visit www.azadventure for details and directions. Check in at the destination coordinates on the website or enter tickets online for a chance to win $1 million. In cash and Arizona travel prizes. The Arizona Lottery is not just about playing games and winning prizes. It's also about giving back to the great state of Arizona and its communities. Visit AZ Adventure for more information on how you can take an adventure for a chance to win $1 million in cash and Arizona travel prizes.
All right. Speaking of playing games, we have a game prepared. Because I felt like we just kind of needed a little pick-me-up after all the drama of today.
Yeah. Are we playing Name That Mortgage Rate? I'm ready.
We are not. But what we are playing is Catchphrase to an extent. So if you guys remember from last year, we played this with Jock, and he and I won. So Gerald, now that you're my partner, don't let me down.
Okay.
Because
you're not as
I've
good
got
as
a winning
Jock.
Record right
I'll
now.
Do my best.
Okay. Since Saul and Flex are unfortunately not here today, Espo, you are going to be playing with Eric.
So I upgraded.
You get to
all
decide
right.
if that's a good thing or a bad
it's
thing.
It's a great
thing. I can't
thing.
Help you with that one.
It's a great thing.
Wait until the game is actually over first before you start complimenting how great it is.
I've got somebody to blame that I don't have to sit next to tomorrow.
Dude, you know what? Fair enough.
Actually, I do. We have a watch along. Never mind.
We're going to sit next to each other. I thought we were going to tier rank all the mortgage companies. I thought that's what we were doing. Tier
list. So here's how this is going to work. Damon and Shane work together to put 40 different words, phrases, things in the Sun's bucket. Okay. Mm-hmm.
The Sun's bucket.
Since there are only 40 of them, that means there's only 10 per 1 minute round.
Okay.
That's the most that you can get.
Okay.
You have one skip. Okay. But that counts against your 10. So if you skip, you only can get up to 9 then at that point. Okay.
So three hosts and a producer in one bucket.
Yes. Right?
Okay. And then 10,
40 words or phrases.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
You guys ready?
Gerald got that.
Okay. I got the scoreboard set up.
Oh, I'm so excited.
So I'm just not allowed to, I'm allowed to say anything but the
but
phrase that's on
But you can't look at them either. You have to blindly pull out each one.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm a man of integrity.
I thought you meant he couldn't look at the word. I'm like, this is the most challenging catchphrase ever. Double blind.
Okay.
All right, let's
do
this.
You, are you going to put 60 seconds
yeah,
on the
clock? Yeah, I can put 60 seconds up on the screen.
Okay.
Let's count it down. 3, 2, 1, go. It is Book's dog.
Haven.
Correct. The suspense. Gerald, 60 minute short or 60 second short.
Solar flares.
Correct.
Okay. Two so far.
What you say after the BetMGM disclaimer.
Get stuffed, Ontario.
Yep.
They're kind of going pretty good, Gerald.
Yeah, not bad so far.
Poor shooter, but beloved by Lindsay.
Landry Shamet.
No, still on the team.
Josh Okogie.
Yes, and then that's the first two words or two words afterwards about the act of...
knockdown three-point shooter.
Replace the middle or the first word of that.
Three-point shooter?
Yeah, so say the full phrase.
Josh Okogie, three-point shooter?
No, well, yep, that's
that's
exactly
not the phrase,
what was on
but
there.
All right.
That's what was on there.
No, we got 5 seconds.
Book's favorite ice cream.
Chocolate.
No.
Incorrect.
No.
He doesn't follow
it's
my reporting.
Are you kidding?
I didn't. I must have been here for that. Wasn't it?
But when we told
get mint,
you.
No, you did not tell me it was mint chocolate chip.
Yes, we did.
You said
we
literally asked
told
if you like
chocolate.
Chocolate. That was all was said to me.
I said verbatim, I guess you should check out Valley Vibes this week.
Oh, my God.
Has it even come out yet?
I don't know.
Wow.
I don't think it's even come out yet. How am I supposed to watch?
Oh, there is a video in Valley Vibes.
I'm the head of content, and I didn't even get a preview of this.
That's
thing.
Tough.
Wow.
So is that four?
Can we give the
that's
bucket
four.
To them?
Four.
So
okay.
We can...
Yeah, so that's
not four.
Four.
Gerald, do you want to read first?
It
or
felt
do
like it was
guess?
Going stronger than that at first.
It did. It was not a good pace. We were like the Suns. It was like the Suns when they go
tough,
ISO.
Man.
It slowed down immensely in the second half.
So you guys
half.
Didn't love your work, but that wasn't your best work?
No, it was not.
Okay.
Are you going to read first then?
I can read first unless you want to.
God, I'm stressed out.
You're
Let's
stressed?
Go, Gerald. Okay.
Okay, I'm counting.
Okay.
All right, let me know when you're about to start the clock.
Go.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
Flex's main catchphrase.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes. Okay, what we were just talking about, the segment that you do.
Valley Vibes.
Okay. Oh, the way that we describe the up and down of this
solar
sun's,
coaster.
Yeah. Oh, what Yusuf Nurkic said about Draymond Green.
That brother needs help.
Yep. Okay. Oh, something that Flex has never had.
Tacos.
You fry them. Oh, we have the platter.
Chimichangas.
Yeah.
I was going to go sex.
What you're wearing on your head?
Beanie.
Oh, we had a whole discussion in the Discord about this. It's made with dough.
Bread.
Yep.
It's made with
mortgages.
Something we want from Frank Vogel, a guy that's not playing.
Thad Young.
And then he needs to play.
More minutes.
Yeah.
We got
that's
eight.
That's time.
Minutes.
All right.
Seven. I have eight. Count them. Espo said
okay,
seven.
Maybe
I
maybe I didn't count hold the
dude,
last.
Dude, Josh Okogie, three-point shooter is what really four. Screwed us up.
Yeah, because it was not the actual phrase.
No. It. Yeah. Seven,
okay, it was eight. All right, they have eight. So
wow.
We're three behind.
Okay.
All right. Four behind.
Espo, trying to give
myself. Trying to get myself. I had to read so much about numbers and mortgages. It was bad.
Oh, my
Espo
God.
I still forgot how
Gerald,
to have
I was
fun.
All nervous.
I didn't think about
ethics.
There is a lot of tension right now.
Okay. Count it down.
All right. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
It's about a certain center power forward and his ups and downs.
Bowler coaster.
Yes. It's what I say at the end of a show.
Ahoy, hoy.
It is a ship that sunk in the early 1900s.
Titanic?
Yes. Pass.
Okay, the one pass.
It's the annoying voice that I do that Saul hates.
Nookie Monster.
The actual name for
Cookie
it.
Cookie Monster. Yes.
it is the play that Jay Crowder threw to DeAndre Ayton. Yes. It is the City Edition front of the jersey this year.
El Valle.
It is the nickname for Kevin Durant and our t-shirt.
Slim Reaper.
Slim
Reaper.
Nope.
Middle. Valley Slim Reaper. Slim Valley Reaper.
Yeah, there we go.
And time.
Dang.
That one counts, I think.
Yes, that counts. Right, so that they got one. 7.
Okay.
So Espo and Eric have 11. So Lindsay, if we get 4.
Fudge.
We win.
Oh, I'm so nervous. I feel like I should have read last.
We have to
guess.
Average 1 per 15 seconds.
Yeah, I think. Not to jinx you, but you should be 5.
All right, we got
to
get 4?
4.
I'd like to show how much more efficient I was in that
You didn't get Josh Okogie 3-point
No,
shooter.
It was the wrong phrase.
To be fair, it was the wrong
I
phrase.
I had it right.
It should have been Josh Okogie, not like, that 3-point yeah. shooter. But it happens. Okay, are we ready? You can count me down?
3, 2, 1.
This is Espo's thing that he created where he wears the thing on his head.
Oh, tinfoil hat club.
Yep. This is what Devin is playing this year.
Point guard.
Most often.
Point book.
Yeah. Point guard.
Oh, point guard.
This is something that looks like a horse, but it's really colorful and rainbowy and has like a little pointy thing on the top of his
a
head.
A unicorn?
Yes. This is what Grayson Allen is about to get this offseason.
Paid. Money. Contract extension.
The slang version of that.
Sling extension?
Pass.
Okay.
This is where Totri had to go when he lost his fantasy league. And he...
Oh, Fuck, come on, what's it called? This. I know what it's
There's
called.
There's a lot of shenanigans that happen here.
Choke.
I am choking. I even got Kirsten.
Yes.
Waffle House.
Yes.
Ah! Jesus.
This is what we call bad games, where they go when they play bad games.
Toilet?
Nope.
Flush them?
I think Amelia came up with it. It's
Cheeks Clinic.
Yes.
Damn!
This is what Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, and Kevin Durant are.
We'd already got
time over.
We'd already got 5.
What did we get? 2.
You got enough. 3, you won. 4, yeah. You
we got
won.
5.
Okay, what was the one you passed on?
The bag.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You didn't get bag, Gerald.
There's a better way to describe
that's
that.
What I said, the slang version of getting money? I'm going to get, yeah.
Was that a...
You could say Devin Booker is in his
bag. Let's not fight. We're good teammates.
Yeah, we won already. Hold on. Yeah, I'm fighting with this motherfucker who lost and he's talking shit.
Don't Eric drive a wedge between our chemistry,
bro, you fumbled.
Our vibes are good. Their vibes are bad.
How many did you get the first time? 8? I got 7. I think we carried our teams is what I'm trying to say here.
Excuse me.
Lindsay, we did great.
I had to guess all 8 of them.
Was it 1? Did we finish 1 different? Is that?
We did.
Yeah, it was 13. No, it was 13 to 11.
13, 11 to 2.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I demand a recount.
It was a
hard
fought battle.
Do you demand a recount?
I do because I was right about Josh Okogie. I should have had at least 10 seconds. I could have gotten 2 more in 10 seconds.
Definitely would have helped.
Oh, but it was Priscilla who came up with Cheeks. My bad. Thank you, Amelia, for telling us that.
Yes.
I'm not okay with this.
Things. You're not okay with this?
You lost,
if there's,
bro.
If there's one thing we're not okay with, it's losing, okay?
Well, wait, okay, I do want to see.
Then do better
the
next
green
time.
One. The green one was, oh no.
What was the green one?
Can I guess?
Let me see.
Describe it to us so we can.
I'm so glad nobody. The green one was the last one. We had 39 words and we needed a 40th word.
The green one was Shane. And I saw the look on Shane's face.
That was a very.
Nobody grabbed the green one.
All right. You want to do this? You want to do this, Eric? You want to do this, Eric?
I don't know.
What's up?
It's the guy that was mentioned in the mortgage report that used to play for the Detroit Pistons.
Isaiah
Thomas. No, that's not that one.
I was getting there.
Is it Isaiah Thomas with a gun?
I was going to say the other. But, okay. Now, what's bacon made out of?
Pig.
Okay. And what do you do with a bike?
You ride it.
Okay. So if that player, put it all together where it makes sense.
Isaiah Thomas, pig rider?
Opposite.
Pig rider, Isaiah Thomas?
No.
The last two words, switch them.
Isaiah Thomas rides pigs.
Yeah, riding a pig.
Look at that.
We would not have counted it.
Whoever got that
would
one.
Would not have counted
sure.
it because it was the wrong Isaiah.
Oh my goodness.
I would have. I was going to say now the other guy, the short one.
They're spelled different.
My gosh. Honestly,
no,
that
was
pretty good. I'm not going
to
lie.
He's spelled the one on the bench,
right? Yes. Shadow GM, not.
That was fun. Cheers, Gerald. If only we had a delicious Michelob Ultra here in front of us that we could
if
cheers with.
Only.
Thankfully, there are some in the fridge. So after the show's over, we can do exactly that. Michelob Ultra, it's got superior taste. It is balanced and refreshing. It's only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. And of course, they also have the Organic Seltzer Essential Collection, which I've heard really good things about. It's made with coconut water and real fruit juice, so you know it's always going to have a refreshing, superior taste as well. Plus that one, it's only 90 calories and has zero added sugar. I know sometimes in the summertime, you know, beer is delightful and refreshing, but sometimes you just want something a little bit lighter, you know, especially in Phoenix. It gets really hot. The Seltzer Essential Collection is top notch for those moments. And our friends over at Michelob Ultra want to hook you up with some superior NBA prizes. So right now, you should head on over to MichelobUltra.com to find out how you can win those superior NBA prizes and to find a Michelob Ultra near you. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And we ask that you enjoy responsibly.
Gerald, do you know what's more fun than Isaiah Thomas riding a pig?
I'm not sure there is anything.
Do you know what's more fun than Isaiah Thomas riding a pig?
What's that?
Those were the two different ones. So they're said the same way.
There you go.
The only thing that's more fun than either Isaiah Thomas is riding a pig is Gila River Resorts and Casinos, because no one does it better. Pig riding's optional, but no one does it better than Casino Arizona. They offer an authentic and immersive experience with an unprecedented level of entertainment and excitement that you won't find anywhere else in the desert. They've set the bar high. I love their gaming floor. It's unbelievable. Reminds me of Summer League in that city we shall not mention. That's very much like ours. They also have great food. Fine dining or quick, whatever you prefer, they got you covered.
Okay.
I've had some fabulous meals both ways. Some great pizza, some great Chinese food. Different choices, however you're feeling, whatever your mood is, they got you covered there. They also have one of the best sports books in the valley out at Wild Horse Pass, the BetMGM sports book that's out there. It is superb. They also have the swing bays up there that we do our shows near. It's everything that you could hope for. It's just spectacular. And if you've got an adventurous palate, check out Honey and Vine, the featured dining experience at the all-new Sandtown Mountain, which is literally in Saul's backyard. You can almost throw a football from Saul's house to the Sandtown Mountain location. So head to Gila River Resorts and Casinos and let them show you what next level is all about. You do you at Gila River Resorts and Casinos. Visit playatgila.com for more details. And please, take care of your pig before Isaiah Thomas rides.
Okay. That's going to be a thing that sticks, huh?
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to be a thing
that sticks. You should have eaten that green one before
I know it
saw the light of day.
Thanks, Shane!
You guys are hilarious with the comments today. So great. Last thing before we get out of here. How are you guys feeling about tomorrow's game against the Cavs? Do you think this whole shenanigans off the top of the show that we talked about adds any sort of anything for the guys actually on the court?
Not at all.
No, I don't think they care.
Look, but that doesn't mean I'm not terrified for tomorrow's game.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect from tomorrow's game for very different reasons, and that's just because I don't know what to expect from this team on a nightly basis. This feels like a game that they should easily win, but so did the Thunder without SGA, so did the Spurs without Wemby. So we'll just have to buckle up and see what happens tomorrow.
Well, they're back at home, so hopefully
that should help.
Our fan base can cheer loud. Remember that one time when Grayson Allen asked for that?
Very politely.
Very politely.
Remember that one time this season they were loud? It has not been an ideal out there at the footprint.
Gerald, make sure you spread the news tomorrow at the Footprint Center that everyone needs to be really loud.
Okay. Breaking news, everyone.
Tell them.
Everyone at the Footprint Center needs
to
be loud.
I need
you
to stand at the entrance and just let everyone know as they come in, okay?
Don't like a greeter.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
I think they could up the interest, though. There is a way to do this, and I think they could make it happen.
Wow.
Do you want to know? Do you really?
I'm a little concerned, but
I mean, you should be concerned.
I know when you get that.
Dan
look.
Gilbert and Matt Ishbia boxing match at halftime.
Oh, man.
Who's not buying tickets for that right now? I want it. I need it. These two teams' owners, the mortgage heavyweights, going toe to toe in the ring at halftime.
See, I just think that's a little bit unfair, though, because Matt Ishbia has he's 18 years younger.
Yeah, that ain't his problem.
Can we tag team? Can we do a tag team with the
mascot of each franchise as well.
Yes,
that would be fun.
I'm in.
Suns Gorilla.
It's a wrestling match, tag team, Suns Gorilla, whatever the hell the Cleveland Cavaliers match. It's probably some weird swashbuckler with a dumb
cape.
The casting is that dude.
Well, it's what's his face.
It's Moonstruck is the dog, and then there's the what's his name.
I feel like you have to go
Clive
Moonstruck.
Or something like that.
I don't think you can have the weird swashbuckler.
Sir Cece. He's the swashbuckler, and then he has the dog Moondog. So that's not technically fair because they have two.
I think it has
Gorilla
to be Moon.
Takes both of them in a wash.
It has to be Moondog. Animal versus animal. Man versus man. Okay. It's Gilbert. It's Ishbia. It's whatever. Moondog versus the Gorilla.
Yep.
Halftime tomorrow. ESPN.
How about, look, Kev said winner gets all the mortgages. How about this one? Loser pays off all the mortgages.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That I would show up and I would be loud AF for. Okay?
Losers Company.
I don't even use any of them, but I would still cheer for that.
How about this? Losers Company has to give 0% APR mortgages to anybody in attendance.
Hey.
Let's do it.
That's a lot of people.
Free homes for all.
A lot of people.
But interest free. Let's do it.
All right. Now that we've solved all the world's problems, let me remind you that tomorrow we will be having a watch along. So in addition to our pregame show and our postgame show, you can hang out with us during the show for the watch along. And on Friday and on Sunday, we'll be having watch parties where you can come hang out with us at Gila River Resorts and Casinos Wild Horse Pass. We'll be down there. There's going to be good food, great drinks. We'll be watching the games together, chit-chatting and hanging out. And of course, The Collection by Mike Bibby will also be available out there. And it's the weekend, so it's kind of perfect. You could come out on Friday, maybe stay the night for Saturday, party all night long, enjoy the delightful food that's out there, maybe take in a concert on Saturday too, stay one more night, and then come hang out with us on Sunday.
Look at
your
that.
Whole weekend and staycation booked for you.
Two things. Go to gophnx.com to RSVP so we have a good head count for both of those nights. Second, what's this we are going to be doing a watch-along? Eric and I will be sitting in these chairs.
We, the collective.
The collective.
Okay.
It's the spirit of Lindsay will be watching on camera.
Yes. I promise you that at least one point in time, you'll hear me holler from the other side of the office.
Maybe even a hoot.
Yes.
Maybe even a cough.
Probably.
What will this be, the fifth game we've done this?
I think so, yeah.
That will mean 20 hours on mic between five games for me.
I mean, no one's making you do this.
No, I love the sound of my own voice.
No,
I actually hold
a gun up to him for the entire watch along.
You're doing this.
Yeah, he has to. He has no choice.
That turned dark real quick.
Real dark.
God. If I blink twice during the watch along, send help.
Please help. Please help. Help. I need an adult. All right. Thanks, guys, for joining us. I appreciate you for being here. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that thumbs up button. If you're listening wherever you get your podcast, rate, review, and subscribe. Until we see you tomorrow, give the show a follow on social at @PHNX_Suns. You can also follow me at Lindsay Smith AZ. You can follow Gerald at Gerald Bourget. And, of course, you can follow Espo at Espo. Espo, take us home.
We're a basketball podcast, but sometimes I have to study mortgages because of this. Ahoy, hoy.